I'm Jake.
And I'm John.
And this is Canine Critique. Welcome back to Canine Critique.
Feels like it's been a million years.
And it has been. What?
What?
Doghouse, man.
Oh,
it's been 2 whole weeks since you've heard from us.
And yeah, man. Quarter of a dog year.
And it feels like the entire world like turned upside down.
That's true.
But here we are.
Was our podcast the thread holding it together, and then when we stopped, it just all fell apart?
Well, here's hoping.
Is that too bold to say?
I don't know. Here's hoping
that controversial
that we can stitch it back together.
Yeah. You know, well, like we already mentioned, welcome back. I missed you guys. John, I missed this. I missed us.
I haven't seen you since we recorded last.
Dude, I know. That's what's weird. Because
I see you every week.
You went to South Carolina, saw your family. How was that?
That was good. I saw their dog. I met their dog for the first time, Sage.
Sage, formerly known as Bambi.
Formerly known as...
something.
Autumn, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
Yep.
I had a surgery. And cool. Today's like one of the... first days I could walk and not feel too much pain.
That's good.
Yeah, not bad. Let's see. Dude, I got a new job, start Monday, and I'm finally gonna not be a mall cop anymore.
Yay!
Which means now I can share nitty gritty mall cop stories without getting shamed or afraid to get fired. Even though nobody there listens, you know what I mean?
Yes. No, I don't.
Oh.
Well, cool.
Well, yeah.
Did you do anything fun over the 2 weeks besides surgery?
No, I just played a lot of Animal Crossing.
I got Animal Crossing.
And I also beat Minecraft Dungeons with my friend.
Wow.
There's just like one more level we need to unlock, and then we like 100% the game. But we already... after you beat it through the first time, you can play it through again, just on harder difficulty. And that unlocks the ability to find a rune in every level. It's like some secret artifact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find the secret artifact for every level and you beat the game again, you can play through it again on a harder difficulty. But since you found all the runes, it gives you a secret level. And the level is just called Moo.
Wow.
And it's a mushroom island with just a bunch of mushroom cows. And you just murder a bunch of cows on your way through the island. And it's like one of the hardest levels to get through because you have to be such a high level for it to not feel like you're being overwhelmed by cows. But at the end, there's like this giant mushroom monstrosity is what it's called. It's like a boss that you have to fight.
Wow.
It drops some pretty okay loot, but it's just like I spent all that time getting the runes for this.
Dang. Very cool.
Yeah, dude. What about you, John? Anything interesting?
Not much, really. I got Animal Crossing, like I said. Been playing it.
Which I'm glad you did, because you threw me under the bus on the cast, dude. You were, like, making fun of me.
Nah, just about Red Bulls. I did watch the last 4 episodes of...
Clone Wars?
Clone Wars, and that's some of the best Star Wars stuff I've ever seen.
Star Wars is pretty good, dude. Well... do you have... I guess I forgot how this works, you know?
I do have a dog story, actually.
Oh, okay, Ty. Dog story's never boring.
So my friend Zach, who we've mentioned him multiple times.
Friend of the pod.
My oldest friend, Zach. Known him forever.
So you have your oldest friend, Zach, and you have your best friend, Eli, and then your annoying friend, Jake. Is that your friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Anyways, he delivers pizzas for Domino's, all right? And he runs into a lot of dogs, and he listens to our podcast as he drives around.
Very nice. See, that's how you got to do it.
Yeah. And he told me this story a while, like 2 weeks ago, and I've just remembered it. Anyways, there was a dog barking as he was dropping a pizza off, and it sounded like a chihuahua.
Okay.
And he's like, ugh, chihuahuas. I don't want to be mean against chihuahuas, but they suck. Anyways. And then the lady's like, oh, sorry, my dog's just pretty. he barks, whatever, a lot. And he's like, oh, what kind of dog do you have? She said, it's a German Shepherd Chihuahua mix.
A German Shepherd Chihuahua mix?
And he's like, what? Can I see it? And it comes out, and it's like a medium-sized German Shepherd that barks like a Chihuahua, pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, what the heck?
Oh, my
gosh.
And
he's like, what on earth is this? And he had to tell me.
Wow.
I think he called me just then.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I was on the road. I was driving
to... German Shepherd Chihuahua. I've never heard of that before. Just like a medium-sized German Shepherd that barks like a Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't even want to imagine how that works.
It'd have to be the German Shepherd as a mom, right?
I don't know. I don't... It's going to sound weird to say.
I don't know maybe the mechanics of that.
But I know so much more about breeding in Pokemon than I do for animals in real life.
Can you crossbreed Pokemon?
Not really. It depends on the type of Pokemon.
I'm sure there's some fanfics.
Well, there's
in
plenty
both, of in both those ways.
There's plenty of fanfics. But, I mean, it depends on the type of Pokemon. They have to be like the same body type.
Pikachu and Mimikyu.
No, John. I don't want to feed...
What would that be?
I don't want to feed your Pokemon fetish desires.
I don't. Ew.
No. Of weird Pokemon fanfics. So, yeah, that's just... I'm not the biggest fan. Maybe Mimikyu doesn't wear a Pikachu doll. It's just the skin of the Pikachu that it murdered.
It's like a Skinwalker Pikachu.
Skinwalker Pikachu Mimikyu.
I'd see that. Detective Pikachu sequel.
Detective Pikachu sequel.
Detective Mimikyu.
Oh my gosh. And Ryan Reynolds is like, is that all ghost?
Who's the evil Ryan Reynolds in Hollywood?
Who's the anti-Reynolds? I know Scarlett Johansson because he used to be married.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson were married?
I'm like 90% positive now that you second-guessed me.
Oh,
I think they used to be married and then they got a divorce once Ryan Reynolds got famous.
Ryan...
he was just like rom-com, but now he's way cool.
Did you watch that video I sent you?
Oh, no.
We'll watch it later.
All right. That's great.
He was from 08 to 11. Now he's married to Blake Lively since 12.
Anyway.
Wild. I don't know who the anti-Ryan Reynolds is.
Oh, probably. It's Hugh Jackman. Of course it's Hugh Jackman.
You're right. Or it's like, I was going to say maybe Ryan Gosling. Like the more handsome, more serious actor version of Ryan Reynolds.
That's still
the less sarcastic version of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, let's make it Hugh Jackman, though. Okay. I want it to be Hugh Jackman. That's for my mom. She loves Hugh Jackman.
How can you not? He's
I can tell you how you can not. He's just an old guy who makes puzzles and...
What?
Is a showman, I guess. I don't know. There's that clip
when did he make puzzles?
That's all he does. If you're like following Instagram, he just makes puzzles.
That's amazing. How can you not like that?
I mean, I like he's just some normal dude, like, on Instagram. Like, he's not, like, promoting any businesses or that sort of thing. And just, like, him, like, look, it's me and my wife, and we made this puzzle. And he'll make it, and he's just like, this is my favorite part. He puts the last piece in, and then he just destroys it. He's like, I love it so much.
But, like, he creates the puzzles and then builds them, or he just builds puzzles that he buys?
No, he just builds puzzles that he buys.
Oh, okay.
Most recently, it was, like, a puzzle of him and his wife that he made. And he's like, I can't destroy this one because I like it so much.
Cute. So,
but I don't know. Of course, I'm trying to say, I don't like to keep up with Hugh Jackman's puzzle making. I mean, it's just maybe every now and again I'll see it in my
That's feed. All I would do.
You're right.
Is keep up with his. The place where I work, we... sell puzzles, like we ship puzzles now, like it's one of our biggest, like a lot of our volume right now is puzzles and whatever.
Why do you guys sell puzzles now?
Well, we ship puzzles. Sorry,
why do you ship puzzles?
We brought on a company that ships puzzles.
Maybe that's the puzzle.
Oh my gosh, what? Anyways, well, my boss is like, are you a puzzle guy, John? And I'm like, you know, I hate puzzles, but when I start doing one, that's all I can do.
Yeah.
He's like, I love puzzles. And my boss is one of those guys that I cannot tell if he's being sarcastic or not. I'm like, do you really? He's like, no, seriously, I really do love puzzles. I'm like, thanks, man.
All right, well.
Do you have a dog story?
I do have a dog story. So this is from a friend of mine, longtime listener of the show. Shout out to you, Paige. She talked to me the other night, and she shared with me this dog story. She woke up the other day. And one of her dogs, oh gosh, I think the dog's name is Ruby. Because it rhymes with Scooby.
Ruby, 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 Ruby. That's like a really obscure song.
Because she wanted the dog to be a girl. No, wanted the dog to be a boy so she could name it Scooby. But it ended up being a girl. So she named it Ruby. Because it rhymes, I guess.
That's how Scooby says his name.
Yeah. So I guess it works. Anyway.
Wow. How come there's never been a love interest for Scooby-Doo?
Are you kidding me? Of course there has.
Who is it? Is it a girl dog? In the cartoon. That's what I want to know. And what if her name is Ruby and she's got like a red Ruby tag that says RD?
It's a Chiquita.
Oh, it's a Chihuahua. It's the pet dog of the who?
Of the Oteros and the love interest of Scooby-Doo.
How recent is this? What year is her first appearance?
Chiquita. Wow. History. Oh my gosh. Oh, what the... I hate... Don't you just hate when ads pop up and then bump your whole page down?
Yes.
Like, if I could pay, like, $2 a year to never have ads again the rest of my life, I would.
$2 a year? I'd pay $100 a year for that, I think. That's not an unreasonable
thing. That's actually not bad.
That's not unreasonable.
I'd pay $100 a year for zero ads.
Chiquita, Scoobypedia. Is that where you're at?
Yeah. History and the Monster of Mexico. I guess that's where they met.
What year did that come out?
You have to, it's with Scooby-Doo Search and the Monster of Mexico.
Do you think that'll be the sequel to Scoob?
Dude, I don't know.
Because they said, oh, we're going to South America. I guess yeah. Mexico's technically North America.
Dude, I don't know. I don't want...
2003, so... Wow.
Wow.
Predates the movie we watched.
Yeah, holy crap.
So I'm telling you, Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase. That's got to be in this dog year or something. I'm putting my foot down. Of all the movies I've wanted to watch, it's Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase.
Have you ever seen Scooby-Doo crossover with Johnny Bravo?
No.
It is one of the best just episodes. It just comes out of nowhere. If you're like watching Johnny Bravo, it just all of a sudden the Mystery Gate shows up.
He's like, whoa, Daphne.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, mama.
Oh, mama.
He keeps like flexing in his shirt.
Right? Yeah.
Johnny Bravo, I don't think I've seen a full episode of it, but I'm on board 100%. My friend John Chase, who suggested 12 Dogs of Christmas, he goes by Johnny Bravo at work.
Interesting that you have a coworker who suggested a trashy movie. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was going to say, have you seen... What, sorry?
I'm trying to tell a dog story.
Okay.
Right now.
Real quick. Scooby-Doo crossover with 1960s Batman. That's a thing.
Well, then we have to watch that too.
Should we do a Scooby-Doo episode where we watch...
Just a couple Scooby-Doo.
We watch Cyber Chase. We watch Scooby-Doo with Johnny
Batman,
Bravo.
And Scooby-Doo Batman.
69 Batman.
Dude, I'm down. That sounds like a blast. Scooby-Doo night. Let us know.
Okay.
Drop us a bark if that sounds interesting. If any of this is interesting.
I don't know. Cyber Chase is a full movie, though, so...
Yeah, I'll be down. Anyway. Coming back to my friend and her dog, Ruby. Rudy? Ruby. Yeah, Ruby because it rhymes with Scooby. Anyway, it has a longer name and I forgot and I apologize. It's like Superstar Ruby or something like that. Just like the cutest name.
Bruce Wayne, what are we going to do when you come for you?
Yeah, shut up. Anyway.
Yeah.
When she woke up, Ruby was just hanging out on the floor, but Ruby could not use her back legs at all.
Why?
And just all day, Ruby just would drag herself everywhere. And I was like, I've never heard about this. The way she explained it was the dog just like forgot how to use her back legs. And they were really worried about it. And she's a nanny somewhere. And the person she nannies for was like, oh, I'll help you out. I have a dog chiropractor.
What?
We'll take Ruby to. Okay. Which that opened up my mind. There's someone out there who's a dog chiropractor, dude.
Is that just a vet? That should just be in your job as a veterinarian.
It's a vet. No. Because even doctors aren't chiropractors, dude.
Like, I'm not letting that Medicare. I'm not letting that.
Yeah.
I'm circumventing that so I can get the most money. I'm not going just into veterinarianism. I'm going into dog chiropractic.
Chiropractor. Dog back works.
Chiropractic. Yeah.
I'm a dog back doctor.
Yes.
Like, what in the world? Anyway, she took him to the dog chiropractor, and then the dog could walk just fine. And I want to know, what in the crap does a dog chiropractor do for the whole, like, back half of the body just to start working again? Did they, like, take the dog...
Acupuncture?
did it take the dog? And like when Patrick, during that scene when Patrick,
he gets
like,
the stretchy powers.
He gets
like,
stretchy powers. You touch my toes, and he wraps them all the way up around the back of his body. Is that what they did with the dog's legs?
I don't know, man. Write in if anyone's a veterinarian or a dog chiropractor.
Yeah, dude.
Are you looking it up right now?
No. I'm just getting prepared for my next little bit.
For dog news?
Yeah, dog. Yeah.
You have dog news?
Dude.
Good.
Is that okay? Gosh, how do I find... Oh, there it is.
I guess cue dog news music now.
Welcome back to Dog News. It's your boy, Dog News spokesperson Jake. Anyway, I mean, I'm counting it as dog news. It's not like a dog news article. I was scrolling through Facebook, and surprisingly, I found something that wasn't... that I found something that was about dogs. And it was pretty funny. I got this person's permission to share this on the podcast.
Okay.
And it's... She titles it "The Two Unspoken Rules of Being a Dog Parent." One of the reasons I want to share this is everybody in the comments just went nuts and was just adding more rules to being a dog parent.
Okay.
And I think it's really fun. Number one, verbally acknowledge your dog's stretch by saying "stretch" or "oh, big stretch." I've been in the presence of so many people. When their dogs do that, they just like will drop everything to be like, "Oh, that's a big stretch, big."
Wow.
What about you? Have you been there?
I think I might have. Yeah. I can't remember any specific situations though.
Number two is echo the little squeak your dog does after they yawn. This is commonly accompanied by saying "squeak" in the highest pitch attainable. Do dogs squeak after they yawn? And I just didn't know this.
I don't know.
Oh, that's not our theme song, is it?
What? No.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry. It's a text from my mom. I'll read it later.
No. If you have time for it now, it has to be on the podcast.
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
My mom says, "Hey, your podcast sucks. It's dumb and I hate you." What? Mom?
Wow. All right. Well, I guess we're just going to be done with the podcast now. Anyway.
JK. She didn't say that.
Yeah. This somebody else added, so I'm going to say number three. When they bark or talk to you, you got to press them for more info. Like, what? What is it? Tell me all about it. Oh, wow. That sounds rough.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, there's like a whole culture that I don't know because I don't have a dog, dude.
Good.
Here's one. You also need to mimic the, air quote, old man grunt they make when they lie down. Also, when they bark at someone across the street, you need to validate their concern and say something like, "How dare those kids play in their own front yard? The nerve."
What is this? It's like this is not news. This is an op-ed piece or something.
An op-ed piece. I just think it's pretty funny. This is a lot of this is just really fun. Because hear me out. It gets better, okay? I could ask some questions for you. Anyway.
You have questions for me.
Yeah, here's another rule. If you're sharing a blanket with a dog, you may only move if such action does not disturb the rest of said dog. I think that applies to more than just dogs, honestly. Have you ever been, like, sitting on a couch with someone and, like, they get up and move and just, like, the atmosphere of the couch has just changed?
Yes.
Anyway.
The atmosphere.
Then this person responds and says, "All rules apply to cat parenting."
The same rules.
Yeah.
Okay. I have something to tell you, Jake.
No. Here, there's one more comment that this is why I want to share with you, especially.
Okay.
Somebody else responded and said, "This also applies to being a bunny parent."
Oh my gosh. You can't just jump on the bandwagon. Oh, this applies to owning an otter.
Because I get it.
Like a ferret. Oh, like some people own ferrets.
This is exactly what it's like owning a cow.
A wreck. Horse owners.
Horse owners. What is it, boy? What is it?
I have something to tell you.
You don't share couches. You don't share blankets with your horses. But I do like all those rules. So if you're a dog parent, make sure you follow those rules.
Yeah.
Sorry. And back to you, John.
I have something to tell. This is not dog news related. This is in our personal lives.
Oh.
You're not going to like it.
Oh, no. Okay. Do you want me to pause the recording?
No, it's fine.
Oh, this is okay.
Why would I pause the recording?
Just an intervention right now.
No, it's not you. I'm just going to tell you something you might not like.
Oh, okay.
As I visited my parents over the weekend.
Yeah.
Or the week. And I drove with my brother with his cat. My brother has an orange cat that shed freaking everywhere.
Did you throw the cat out the window?
No. No.
You're right. I would look
for it. My brother's cat is named Maurice. It's an orange tabby kind of cat. It's a fine cat, but it's a freaking coward, okay?
Like Coward the Cowardly Cat.
Yeah, sure. My parents have two cats, one named Mirzi, one named Emmy. Okay, Mirzi's a gray cat. Emmy's like a Siamese cat. Emmy slept under my bed that I was staying there at my parents' house or whatever. And Maurice is just checking out the room. He's like, let me check this out.
Yeah.
And so he's just walking around, and as he nears my bed, I just hear growling and hissing, because Emmy is not a social cat. She's like, I got replaced by Mirzi. Oh, sorry. No, Mirzi was under my bed. Mirzi's the Siamese one. She's like, I got replaced by Emmy, and then got replaced by Sage, and now there's another cat, and I'm done with this. You humans don't care about me.
I guess being underneath your bed is a pretty good spot.
Well, you know what? I was kind of like, sorry, come out. It's okay. No one's showing you love. I'll be the one to do it. But it's like, no. Mm-mm. Anyways, me and my brother stayed up till like 3 a.m. watching them fight. These cats just kept like, and it was Maurice like, Maurice goes to like make a punt at Mirzi, and then Mirzi just like, she like slaps it, and then Maurice just goes back to its corner over and over again. Maurice is a coward. He won't follow through.
Wow.
But what I learned was, I'm sitting on the couch watching later while this is all going on, presumably, and Emmy, the gray cat, who's just like friends with the dog now, initially not happy with the dog, now they're friends, just sits on my lap. And I'm like, normally I'd push it off. That's how, because I'd lived with the cat for 6 months before. But I'm like, I'm going to give this a try. So I just let it, and I just pet it. And I'm like, you know, cats are pretty cool. They don't lick you. They don't yell at you. They don't, what's up? They don't come and charge you. They just mind their business and then just come and chill. And I think I found out I'm a cat person. I know.
What?
I would never get a cat. But what? I'm fine with cats.
What? Hold on.
I know.
What? John. After all we've been through. Oh my gosh. Can't be a cat person after here, all this.
After, but let me also say, my parents' dog Sage is the most well-trained dog I've ever met. I've never really heard it bark, and it's just like, "What's up?" And I'm like, "Hey, what up?" Their dog is a cat, basically. It just curls up on the couch next to me, and I'm like, "I'll just pet it, I guess." So I opened up to the world of animals, but me personally, generally speaking,
no,
I like cats more than dogs.
No.
I've always kind of held that opinion. But it wasn't until I went that I was like, I think I like cats more.
Oh,
that being said, I would never buy a cat of my own accord. If I had kids in the future that are like, I want a cat. And then like, presumably I'd have a wife in this situation. So it's like pressured me into getting a cat. I'd be like, one, just one, no more than one. That's my concession at this point.
At this point, because then you'll get one. And then that's just like another doorstop. And then. Who knows? That's a slippery slope once you get a cat.
Then everyone I love will die, and I'll have 10 cats. Who will also die.
Can you name one of them Jake and another one K9 Critique?
K9 and Critique.
Nice.
Three cats.
Look at that. You just bought yourself three cats and named them.
Four cats, because one will be Jake.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Please don't make... Yeah, anyway. Wow, John. I don't even know what to think. Do I have to find a new co-host? Is this like when Steve left Blue's Clues? This is how I feel right now. Like that same like uncertain feeling. Like
my personality hasn't changed. I've just learned more about my personality.
What does the future hold for me? What does the future hold for this podcast?
You really didn't see that coming at all.
Absolutely not. Hopefully better.
I told it in a roundabout way. I'm like, you won't like this. And then I trailed you in with a story. Sucked
dang
in.
Dang it. I thought you were going to... Oh, no.
People going back will be like, he's been telling cat stories this whole time. It makes sense.
Yes. There's a conspiracy. A cat-spiracy. What? Anyway, catch us next week
Podcasts?
on Feline...
Critique.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Well, maybe I can. I'll just be more pessimistic toward it all.
Yeah, we'll swear.
Our first cat year will be the Joe Exotic Tiger King series.
Okay.
Anyway.
Wow. I don't know what to think. I think I was going to have to talk more about my friend's Facebook post, but
it's all right. Let's get into it.
I can't think I have anything else. Wow. I just... Golly,
man.
Yeah. Some quick backstory. We watched a movie, and in case you looked at the title of the episode before it was playing, you may have thought to yourself, hey, I've never seen this movie or even heard about it. And it came out in 2005.
It's astounding that nobody's heard of it, but at the same time, I understand.
We got Chevy Chase.
And John Voight.
You don't know who John Voight is. He's the mean cowboy guy on Holes.
He's the Mr. Sir.
Yeah, there it is. I think that's his name, is Mr. Sir. But I have, for some reason, there's like a canine critique renaissance going on in my workplace. I say that because people are talking about it without me telling them, like, because before what I would do is I would just beat them with it. I'd just constantly talk about canine critique because that way I knew they wouldn't listen. Because that way I could trash my coworkers from the podcast. You know?
Yeah.
That way I know that they're just bugged enough that they're not going to listen, so I could just make fun of my boss or make fun of my coworkers, and because they're never going to hear it. But now they're listening. And one of my coworkers was listening to it when he was in the security vehicle. And he steps out and he was like, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you a dog movie. And you're going to watch it. And then he sends me this message of the movie we watched called Karate Dog.
Which you told me today. This was a last minute decision to watch this. And I was like, no. But then I thought, you know what? I have nothing to live for right now. So,
okay. Oh my gosh. And this is just this first paragraph. He sent it to me through Google Play, to rent it through Google Play. And it's like, Dr. Doolittle meets Enter the Dragon meets Turner and Hooch. Cho-Cho, a wisecracking canine, partners with a bumbling computer geek detective to solve his Zen Master's murder and save the world from a biochemical maniac.
The Zen Master, played by the late, great... my phone. Let me put it on silent. Pat Morita, as in...
Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid. And I hoped, beyond hope...
that this was in
the universe of Karate Kid.
Yeah.
How great would that have been? But no.
Oh my gosh. It's just, I'm surprised this movie was even made.
Yeah, I don't know why it exists.
And, you know, I think I mentioned it before. When you rent a movie on Amazon, it's always 4.5 or 5 stars. And it's because the people who rated it are the people who rented it.
And watched it and enjoyed it, presumably.
And those are the people who paid money to rent it through Amazon Prime. They didn't go back and watch it. And I found the same problem as on Google Play, because when I scroll down, there's only 24 reviews, but it's 4.7 out of 5 stars.
IMDb is 2.7 out of 10.
IMDb, 2.7. And I messaged my coworker, his name's Aaron. I said, how did you find Karate Dog? And he said, I looked for the worst rated dog movie on Google.
Oh, so he hadn't even seen it. I thought, oh, this is a movie from my childhood.
Yeah.
I feel like this is cheating.
So then I said, I hate you.
We could have just done that.
Yeah, we could do. Honestly, why didn't we? Why haven't we?
Just looked up the lowest rated. I don't want to go down this.
That's the thing. We did. This was it.
You're right. Good. We never have to go back.
Apparently, this was the lowest rated.
I don't even think this is the worst one we've watched, though.
It's absolutely not.
It's not 12 Dogs of Christmas.
There's so many times I was like, I kind of do just want to be done right now. Like, I'm feeling...
Most of the time, I felt like that.
I'm feeling like an M&M. Like, I never craved McFlurries, but I was craving McFlurry. That's
maybe
how
we'll
bad
have to
I
get
want.
One after this.
Dude, if you I'm want. Down. Dude, I'm heckin' down. But, you know, it's just...
Hold on.
Oh, what's that? Oh, you just...
I brought this, and I just remembered it.
Oh, Orange Crush. Some orange soda. John, I have a confession to make. I haven't told you this. I haven't even told my mom this. My mom's gonna be so disappointed in me.
Do you not like Orange Crush?
No. I love orange soda. I made a goal to stop drinking soda for the time being. I just want to
be fit. Good thing I brought that.
Dude, shut up.
No, like, seriously, I was like, I'm gonna show up. I haven't eaten anything all day. If he doesn't have soda, I need some.
Oh, just kidding.
Orange Crush is my favorite orange soda. Like, I think it's better than Fanta.
Better than Sunkist?
It's like caffeine-free Sunkist is basically what Crush is.
Yeah, you're right. What about Shasta?
Like Orange Shasta?
Orange Shasta.
Or like Faygo?
Yeah.
I think Crush. I'll always choose Crush, okay? However, IBC cream soda. One time I went to the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you can get an IBC orange cream soda in a frosted mug. And I'm like, that's what I will take. And so she gave it to me. I'm like, are there refills? She's like, I can put orange Fanta in it when you're done. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I drank this yummy IBC orange cream soda. And then I'm like, fill it up with Fanta. And she put the Fanta in. Night and day difference. I was so surprised. I was like, holy cow. Like, Fanta was more like, it was like tart. It was way more tart. And I was like, oh, the cream's not there. I see the absence of the cream. Crush has more cream than Fanta, in my opinion.
Oh. So, thank you for listening to Jake and John.
Crush Talk.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just...
bring it back one more time.
Anyways.
Probably.
Karate Dog.
Probably not. So, Karate Dog. I'm baffled that they got the real Mr. Miyagi to be the Mr. Miyagi type, who was only in the movie for like 3 minutes.
I was a little sad.
He broke in, stole a thing.
It looked like he did kind of most of his stunts too.
It barely sets a scene. I mean, I guess this is them setting the scene. I'll jump right in for you.
What's the story?
Here it is. I mean, I read through the description, but
there's a dog.
This dog is trained by the Mr. Miyagi guy. What's his name?
It's Chin Li.
Yeah. So Chin Li is training Cho Cho, but Cho Cho can speak like a human
and do karate on his hind legs.
And he's the voice of Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase is voicing the dog.
Yeah, which is just so weird.
It's so strange, and especially watching Community so much and hating Pierce. I'm like,
yeah,
I hate this.
He steals like this chemical from this.
It looks like the ooze from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There it is. He steals that and he puts it in a pot. And then he hears some noise downstairs. So he goes downstairs and he looks around. Nobody's there. Opens the pot, takes out the thing. Is like, yep, it's still here.
And then,
boom, five ninjas.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Also, you find out later in the movie that the company he stole it from has like 80 of those tubes. So I don't know why he grabbed one of them.
Yeah.
To what end?
It's just...
so the movie could happen.
Then our dog, Cho Cho, crawls through the vents and...
fights all the ninjas himself.
He fights them, and it's like some of the worst CGI you've ever seen.
For 2005, Yoda was...
I mean, like, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith came out this...
Gollum was before this. Yeah, this is the worst CGI you've ever
seen. Tony Stark made this in a cave with a box of scraps.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel when I see technology, like, just this much suckish. I mean, I get it. Like, your budget must not have been that good, and you couldn't get, like, Lucasfilm or whatever their subsidiary
Industrial
company
Light
that
Magic.
Does it. Yeah, there it is.
Or
that,
Weta.
That, the only that two do it. But, I mean, they did it, but better, 30 years before this movie.
Maybe not 30. Oh, you're talking the original Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah. I'm talking like...
or Pixar. Like
what, these guys... yeah, those original guys did Jurassic Park, and that came out 12 years before this. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much... like, that was better. That was better than this dog.
100%. Anyways.
Ugh.
Then the cops show up, and there's a nerd police detectives who's invented an AI, like a Jarvis type AI called Collar. For no reason, but...
yeah.
He adopts this dog and... oh, but Mr. Miyagi was like, only talk to the person who seeks the truth or whatever. So then...
but it's like a comedian wisecracking Chevy Chase dog.
Yeah, I also don't understand how he looked like... because they use that ooze to make the dog super powered, and then John Voight, who employs the ninjas, uses the ooze to like...
Make himself
like front flippy, and you find out that Mr. Miyagi trained him. And then... but that doesn't explain how the dog became
a dog that can talk.
There was some parts I just wasn't paying that much attention to because this movie is like staring at a piece of paper. I don't know. I mean, do something. I don't know.
And then it goes like Turner and Hooch style. Like there are, I don't even know his name. The actor is no one.
Yeah.
This police detective and the dog do a lot of shady, like rogue police work, yeah, like breaking
really
in.
Really shady rogue police work.
There's no reason anyone should have been arrested.
And there's like a love interest who's like some blonde girl who you can tell
she's
like
fine for the most part, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not the
biggest fan much to
of,
do.
Like, if I'm not, how do I put this? I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Oh yeah, I remember. If you're somebody who smokes like a lot, so much that it changes your voice, I don't think acting is a good career for you.
Brutal.
I just don't think so.
Okay.
Unless you can change your voice to sound like a normal person.
I didn't think it was that bad.
She wasn't like, you want some bacon on your burger, baby,
at the diner.
And she wasn't like really bad.
Yeah.
But it was noticeable.
She had kind of that raspy, jazzy kind of voice, I guess. Like an Adele.
Yeah, but I mean,
but as either way,
I don't know. Can we all just agree that smoking is bad? Is that like,
I mean, that's not a controversial statement. I don't think.
I don't think it's a controversial statement. Is like smoking is bad, but we don't promote anything this podcast. We don't have any sponsors, but if we
crush,
crush, that's it. Sorry, John. Crush.
Yeah.
And I listened to our other episode. We sponsored Raid Shadow Legends by accident.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, geez, like he rogue police work. I mean, there are just weird moments. Like, oh, there's the IMDb review sums it up just so beautifully. Let me, I might add to it if I remember as I'm going along, because this review, I was rolling. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's 2.7 out of 10, which is just so sad. You ready for this? There are 17 reviews, and this one is 10 out of 10.
Oh, I did see this when I was briefly. I didn't read it, though.
Yeah, ready? This is great. A dog suspended from the ceiling by a cable attached to a harness. Pat Morita, is that his name?
Yeah.
Pretending to be Chinese. A dog coaching a human on what to say to his dinner date through an earpiece from the bushes. A police detective who owns a $1 million house in the San Francisco Bay. A Dalmatian that plays the cello. A fat kid with an earring. A terrier, Jing. I don't know what this. Terrier DJing the party and scratching on the turntables. A woman who never closes her mouth. A movie named...
You're right. She never closed her mouth.
A movie named Karate Dog, where everyone is supposed to be doing Chinese martial arts. A bumbling, overzealous dog catcher who keeps all the animals in a Guantanamo Bay-style facility where they scrawl woof and other graffiti on the wall.
Yeah, I did see that. Hydrants.
Yeah.
And they're like doing a beat. They're singing along to a beat.
It's like, what the heck? Is it sounds great? It only gets better. A dog takes on 5 human assassins who just defeated his human master and beats them into submission using the martial art prowess he achieved spending much of his life as his master's top student. In a flurry of punches and kicks, he renders all of them unconscious and or sets their butt on fire. I forgot
about that. Yeah,
he bites the leader on the wrist, who was wearing a mask, and spends the rest of the movie trying to solve the mystery of the bitten leader by looking for visual clues such as band-aids on their wrist. Apparently, the greatest canine martial artist to ever live made some sort of Faustin, is that how to say that? Deal, where he traded in his canine sense of smell for the ability to roundhouse kick people who are over 6 feet tall.
Is this the end? Does it keep going?
Dude, it's still going. An all-dog band named The Puppies, a repairman disguise kit for... Oh, yeah, right. A repairman disguise kit for infiltrating high-tech corporate headquarters that says Barker Industries on the back. A Trojan compact disc that literally blows up every computer within a 50-foot radius and cuts the building's power when you stick it in the CD drive of a PC. This movie is great. Underlying it is all malicious threat of speciesism in the form of dog-cat hatred. At every opportunity, defamatory and slanderous anti-feline sentiments are expressed, implied, and presented in a manner that reveals the deep-seated prejudice of the screenwriter. It just keeps going, man.
I can't. That was
funny. That's what this movie is.
Yeah, it's full of, you know, those things are the funny parts in the movie. Yeah.
In summation, it's the greatest film ever made. That's the end of the...
It's not movie. The greatest film ever made. It's, this is like along the lines of C-Spot Run, but C-Spot Run was better.
I mean...
I'd probably rather show someone this, though. Because it's so bad you laugh at it.
Yeah.
C-Spot Run is probably a better story and a better movie.
Like, if you're a group of kids in high school who just, like, you're not watching the movie that you're putting on.
Yeah, you're laughing.
You probably have, like, one friend who doesn't have a girl that he's cuddling with that's paying attention to the movie.
Wow, that was me.
But this is the movie you all want to get together and just put on the screen.
Yeah.
I used to play games with my friends. I don't know if you ever did this, where we'd mute it. And we'd all pick a character, and we would just be that character.
I've never done that. You know, maybe actually we did start to do that, and then we got bored.
I think it'd be a lot more fun if you did a movies you didn't know. And this one's a perfect one, because it is, you have no idea what's going to happen next.
There's a lot of dog leg turns.
Dog leg it the fight scene at the end.
Yeah, John Voight. Yeah, I said it's like Count Dooku fighting Yoda.
Yeah,
John except Voight. Way. Because it's like John Voight fighting a CGI dog, but it's also kind of CGI John Voight for the most part.
And there's a part like where they're karate chopping each other, and they stop, and Chevy Chase like says something like, "Oh, what about these moves?" And he just like breakdances. And then John Voight's like, "Oh yeah, I can do better." And then he breakdances too. I'm like, what? There are so many moments where it just like composited dogs overlaying on the screen, and they're just
an entire seesaw composited over a lawn.
When I was reading the review, that's a part. He goes on a date with that other cop, and they're at the diner or whatever, and Cho-Cho's in the bushes outside speaking an earpiece, telling him what to say to the girl, but Cho-Cho finds a poodle.
And he's like talking about the poodle, and then the main guy starts talking about the girl like she's a poodle. She gets offended, but then later finds out he has an earpiece. Then they have a moment, and then Cho-Cho has a moment with the poodle.
The same time. And it's just like this weird montage. Double date montage.
Parallel editing is technically what it's called. Uh-oh. Film term.
And then at the end of that, like the very next scene, What's-His-Face goes home with the girl.
But to his house.
To his house. And there's a dog party going on.
They trashed the house. Not in the way you think.
And that's where there was a terrier DJing. There was also a chihuahua like floating around.
With balloons. With
balloons.
Like villager from Animal Crossing style.
Yes.
In Smash Bros. If you've played it.
It was just... Dude, I can't even... Like, I cannot believe I just jumped on the idea of watching this.
I can't either. We were going to watch Milo and Otis, which
I think is still a bad idea.
That one's more well-known than this, though.
I think it's just well-known because every movie from the 60s is well-known for some reason.
Is it from the 60s?
It's like 1963.
I bet it's 80s. I bet it's Babe 2 era, like Babe.
Maybe 67? Milo and Otis?
Could be.
Let's take a peek.
86.
Oh, 86.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I mixed up my 6 and my 8.
63 was... it was technically released in 89. Regardless, 63 was Incredible Journey, which was
That's good. Right. But, dude,
what else do we need to say about this?
What else is there to say? Don't watch this movie?
Were there good parts? There were some funny... There was a lot of, like, he does the Matrix thing, or he does the Mission Impossible dangling from the ceiling thing.
It made a lot of jokes, like meta jokes about movies and actors and that sort of stuff.
All right, Dr. Doolittle.
But not like in the fun way.
There's every dog pun Jake has said plus 10 more in this movie.
And that almost hurts me to think.
Very specific ones too that you couldn't use unless it was in this situation. What was it going on in the movie?
Yeah. You know, you're probably right.
Somehow it works, so I guess.
It's just that I suck at this.
Huzzah to the writers.
This movie was obviously made for children. But I'm just glad it's not mainstream, because it's just, I don't know.
Doesn't really matter ultimately, though.
It doesn't. And I'm sad we watched it, but I'm glad we didn't pay for anything. It was just like free to watch for us, where we found it and watched it. So,
yeah. Making it sound shady. It's just on YouTube if you want to find it out.
Yeah, we just.
I mean, it'll probably get taken down now that we've said this, but it's on YouTube, yeah. The whole movie.
So go check it out.
I don't care if it gets taken down. Sorry, the guy who uploaded it.
Yeah, dude, it's been up there for 11 months. I might go comment and be like, we talked about this on my podcast. Sorry, dude. Just like a self plug. But, oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude. Karate Dog. I was not expecting a CGI dog.
The cover of the movie, though, is Chocho with a headband on and a police badge in his hand. And then there's a couple other dogs that look like, one's got an eye patch.
Yeah.
None of that happens in the movie.
None of it. Like,
yeah.
I really want to know, like, what goes on when they make these sorts of movies. I want to just write the screenwriter and be like, can you explain to me this, you know? Were they all just like out for a night drinking? They're like, none of our screenplays are caught up. It's like, tell you what, next screenplay send me, we're making it. And that night he just wrote that up and sent it to him. Cause it's weird, dude.
It is weird. It's a weird concept. Whatever.
There's a part in the final fight scene where, like you said, the Matrix was happening. But John Voight, Joel, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He was inside a dumpster, just picking up items and throwing them at Chocho.
But there were just some ninja stars in a banana peel.
Yeah, there were some ninja stars. And it's like, it's fast forward when he's like digging through the trash and he's like stopping, making weird faces and like yeeting things at him. And I think that's my favorite part. That's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. That is the best part of the movie.
It's so good.
There's a point where they dive at each other and they grab each other's arms and then it like stops and the camera like, it like goes around their arms.
Around them. It's like not one, but like two loops around them.
Yeah.
It's just, what? And then it zooms clear in and they're still holding each other.
And he licks his face in presumably like super speed.
Yeah, here it is.
Like the Flash.
Super lick. Oh my gosh. And then he gets up on his front legs and kicks him into a sign, and then he just like picks up this electric wire off the sign, electrocutes himself. He said,
for no reason.
He's like, do you think I have any more? Because I don't.
And you're right. Over. He's like, if you think I'm not done yet, you're right. And then he falls over.
No, if you think I'm done, you're right.
Oh yeah. And then the son of John Voight shoots the police detective, but then Turner and Hooch style, Chocho jumps in the way. Yeah. Turns out he's all right. Gets a medal.
A medal that looks like
a dollar store medal.
Or like one that I bought at Build-A-Bear for my bear when I was in first grade.
Yeah. That's the movie. That's the Karate Dog.
And it's just...
What's our... It's a doggone it?
Yeah. Yes. Doggone it for me. I'm going to say... For the first part, the story just sucked. That's my first piece of bread. It just wasn't
good. Made no sense.
No sense.
Technically, the villains weren't really doing anything illegal, I don't think.
And sometimes I'm just like, I complain about why there are so many people, why are there people who were upset about getting representation in movies? There was that one woman in the whole movie.
There's the scientist woman who worked for the evil people.
Oh, yeah.
But she got pushed over like a doll.
Yeah.
And literally was probably like a big cardboard cutout.
And then my favorite part was that the good part was that fight scene. Yeah. And then the other piece of bread is that, you know, it felt like the music was
awful.
Like royalty free music.
Yeah, time. I agree.
So
I don't have much else to say other than it's weird. The thing I like about it is that I don't understand how John Voight and like Chevy Chase were in it. Chevy Chase is not top billing either. Like, he's not really in the credits. And if you go to IMDb, you have to scroll to the very bottom to find out that it's Chevy Chase voicing Chocho.
That's so funny. I want to figure it out. But, you know, thanks for listening to Can I Critique this week.
Yeah.
Drop us some barks for next week. We're glad to be back from our break.
CanICritique.com.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Gmail, Facebook. Thank you to Elijah David Webb for the themes, the musical themes.
Check them out. Is that voting still going on?
I'm not sure.
Well, if it is, go up to the YouTube and link in a couple videos ago.
Yeah, cool.
And
normally I'd be like, check me out on Flower Lour, but I've killed my social media because I don't think it's good for my mental health.
So maybe it'll be back, or maybe it won't.
Maybe sometime, maybe not. Maybe I'll make a website for my art. Because that's the only thing I post there is my art.
Like a blog or something. John's blog.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You'll call it Pod. Thanks for listening to Canine Critique.
Yep.
Catch you in the...
Oh. What?
I was going to say your thing. I'm sorry.
Cat.
No. Chew in the dark.
It's been there from the beginning.
No. No.
Catch you in the doghouse next week.
Bye.
Time.
Oh, what? Man. They wrecked it.
Bye-bye.
I'm still talking.
Bye-bye. Just turn it off.